FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We've got a special guest in the studio, and it's the one, the only, Corey Kent. I was going to say morning. Afternoon, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's good to see you again. Last time you came in, we had a chat and you were with the 4P students.
Yeah, that was very
and
good
you
time,
were,
that was.
You were getting a bit of a grilling, but they've disappeared now.
Yeah. I said that was actually on the contract. Don't bring them in. No, they were very good. I remember.
Look, I don't know where to start. So let's start with you walked in. Was there a bit of hobbling?
No. For anyone that hasn't seen recently on my social media or anything like that, I've got a knee injury at the moment. I got from a competition, and I believe I think I mentioned it in the last interview as well. The last interview we did.
It's been a while though.
Yeah, it's been a while. So basically, I've got a leg brace now that I should have had at the start because. I had the injury. I went to the emergency and they said, oh, just rest it. You'll get back to normal. Didn't happen. I was still hobbling, in pain. Came back. They said, okay, we've got you an MRI scan, got you this X-ray, your knees, you know, you're missing your PCL, your LCL. I'll send you to the surgeon. Went to the surgeon. He examined my leg, said, yeah, that's bad. I'm going to have to refer you to another surgeon because I specialise in hips. So I'm like, why am I speaking to you then?
Yeah.
So then I wait another month to see the surgeon I'm with now, who he was brilliant. This man is great. He knows what he's doing. He said to me, look, I'm so sorry for what you've been going through. This shouldn't be happening to you. But he says, you should have this knee brace I'm on now. He says, you should have had that 6 months ago. This is what... So it keeps me... my leg completely secure and everything like that. So, because he's determined that because I've got no PCL on the side of my knee, and because of that, my ACL is like wandering around. So basically, I'm all right walking and everything out. But if I take one wrong move, like in my sport or something, my knee can just completely go like that. So we've got that. He's now put me in for surgery. Urgent. He's put it in for. So hopefully, by the time we do the next interview, I'll be on the road to recovery or recovered by then. Fingers crossed, I may have just put it in the ether now, and now it's just going to be wrong now. I'm just thinking it's now going to be completely the other way around. I've jinxed myself. But anyway, people say to me all the time, say, is this like, because they look at it and think like, oh my God, Joe, you're in so much pain. I says, no, it actually feels lovely, this stuff.
Does it?
It actually feels great, because if I didn't have it, I wouldn't, because apparently it keeps my leg. He's set in a dial, so it's like it keeps my leg at a perfect degrees. Like even when I'm going at certain angles, it keeps it secure. So it feels great. I feel great in it.
Well, just before you came in, we were talking about Forrest Gump. Strangely enough, if you remember the film Forrest Gump, he had his knee in a brace, didn't he?
Yeah.
And one of the kids actually mentioned, "There's a guy out there that looks like Forrest Gump because you've got the knee in the brace." I bet you're glad that he's not here now doing the interview, aren't you?
Oh, that's me. Forrest Gump's a legend. He had many good accomplishments. I've not seen the movie. He had many accomplishments.
Brilliant. Hey, look, there's lots I want to chat to you about. And obviously, we've got to mention Red Funnel because you're once again, you were chosen to be a Red Funnel ambassador.
Yeah, always honour. Always appreciative of Red Funnel. Wow, they support me. I was one of the first ever island ambassadors when they first started doing the programme. And they've just keep... I keep trying to tell them not have me. They keep having me. Like, even though I put the application, I said to them, look, I'm injured. I want to come back to competing and accomplishing my new stuff, but I'm injured. And they were, I'm very appreciative of them still keeping me as an island ambassador, keep doing what I'm doing and everything like that. So I do appreciate the support.
And it's huge support for many, many people. I don't think people realise just how many. If you've ever been, stuck in the cafe and they've got the little screens there showing you all the people that are part of the Red Funnel ambassadors, not just for sport, but other, you know, we've got artists, musical artists and so on. They do a hell of a lot of support for people. So
they do some things for people I didn't even realise we're doing. Like, I think we've got one who's a Pokemon card.
Right.
Like a Pokemon card player. Sort of thing. Like, I didn't even realize it was a thing until I looked on their island ambassador thing and saw he was on there, and I was like, oh
wow.
So it's very diverse. They really support like a big range of people. Anything you could think of, they probably are supporting someone in that.
Let's talk about the martial arts sport that you're in, because you're not only in it, but you actually teach it as well.
Yeah, so obviously going through an injury like I have and dedicating a lot of time to competing and training and just being as best as I can in the sport, I felt lost, very lost. And my biggest fear with an injury like that is being taken away from my sport. But with a surgery and the way that, you know, how it goes with surgeries and how it's not straightforward, like, we gotta be honest, it's not straightforward. We love the NHS, but it's not straightforward like that. So you then take, you have to then make a decision in yourself, like, I've now gotta take it on myself to find a way to make it work in my own, yeah, somehow. So my answer to that was at things I can control, my brain and how I can expand on that. If I can't do things, something physically, I have to do mentally. So my avenue was teaching and just expanding my mind as much as I can. So hopefully when I come back, I come back with a great new perspective, a new outlet and more knowledge in the back of it that I can now add to my arsenal.
And I bet it's lovely being around young people because, you know...
No, they make me feel old. I'm 27, but they make me feel old.
And I mean, we mentioned this last time because you actually came into the four Ps when you were about, I don't know, 17. So we're looking at about 10 years ago. So, I mean, that's how quick it goes, Corey. Yeah. That's how quick it goes. Sorry to, but I mean, just imagine when you get to my age as well, how quick it goes.
Is there any alcohol now?
No, there's not, unfortunately. No. But I say, it's just one of those things where you can put something back in already. Yeah. You know, age 27, you're putting something back in.
Yeah,
it's just a lovely thing. But I've got so many questions to ask you. They're not just to do with sport, because I know you have to overcome quite a number of things. And you wouldn't know this because it's not the sort of it's not the sort of thing you just put in a conversation. Or maybe we should. But I know you're very honest and open about autism, and I know that is something that have to overcome on a daily basis. And there's lots of things that people will assume and they shouldn't do, and so on. And what I love about you is that you speak up, and you know, it's almost like speaking up for people that are not in a position yet to speak up for themselves. And I think that is a really lovely thing. So when did you... my best question I can ask you today is when, because there's a lot of people that go through autism and they struggle and think that they'll never be able to do certain things because of it and so on. You must have gone through that, but what was the turning point when you realised that, hey, hang on a minute, I'm going to do this, you know, and I'm going to overcome it?
So I would actually say it's my sport. My sport really opened my eyes to an avenue that I didn't think I was capable of doing. I think many autistic people, and particularly young people in particular, could really, really benefit from just finding an outlet for their thoughts and emotions and something they can focus on. Because you are right, there is many autistic people, and myself included, that were going through their life thinking the world's confusing. The world is just like, doesn't cater to us, like we have to cater to it. And it's upsetting, it's really tiring. It's very tiring. Even today, I can go for my day, but then I'm just like at home and I'm just like, I need a few hours to just like, take down my mask, if that makes sense, and just like completely unwind. But yeah, it's but finding an avenue where you can be passionate about something and finding a community that feels like they accept you for who you are is very important. And yeah, that's what it's a very hard subject to bring up, because I know many autistic people suffer with many things and everything like that. It's quite a broad question, so I might need to have a little bit of a think about that, because I think, yeah, it's all about finding that outlet, like I said.
Found it in the sport.
I found it in the sport, but it doesn't have to be a sport. It can be anything.
Yeah,
particularly.
Sure.
Autistic people, they have an interest. We're not like wandering around. They have interests, which could be like, I don't know, for some reason I'm thinking of chess or something like that. It could be something like chess or like even things like trains and all that sort of stuff. They like that, so it's accepting them for... They just need acceptance, really, and finding that outlet where they can just be themselves. That seems to be, to me, the best way of increasing their quality of life, in my opinion.
How do we improve, other people's perception? Because that for me, seems to be the problem. Yeah. Is other people? I think more and more people are more aware these days. If you go back 30 years, it was probably.
You say that, but then I think the awareness is better.
Yeah.
But the awareness could be better, if that makes sense. Because I feel like many people will look at someone. I'm not trying to big myself up here, but people will look at me, for example, and they will not understand my level of autism just because they are going off appearance.
Yeah,
they want me to be, you know, fiddling with my hands. They want me to be like, you know, goofy and all that sort of stuff, which they normally associate with autistic people. You know, and I don't want to shame people for having that opinion, because there are some autistic people that do have telltale signs. But then there's some people that don't. They're very good at masking. It's like for a fun fact, like, they used to think that women didn't have autism. They used to think it was just a male thing. And then they found out, actually, autism runs at the same rate as male to female, but women are much more better at hiding their autistic things. They're much more better at hiding it. And I'm one of the males that are very good at hiding their autism. So, and then when people say to me, oh, I understand autism, but then I show them my struggles. I show them where... I fall down and, like, I struggle in certain situations. They're very shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that level of autism is not expressed to them. That is such a wide variety. It's a very high spectrum. But the struggles are very similar to one another.
I mean, I'm never going to be able to fully understand what it's like for you. But I think the more we talk, the more understanding that we can have.
Yeah, of course. I think, yeah, having someone you know who's autistic, or speaking to someone who's openly autistic, will definitely help increase your chances of understanding it. It'd be like me talking to a guy in a wheelchair. I personally have never been in a wheelchair, so, and I kind of roughly know the struggles in my head, but obviously talking to someone who's in a wheelchair and him telling her, I probably will have moments where I'm going like, oh, actually, yeah, I can understand that. Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, those moments are magical, isn't it? When they they're never ever going to fully understand.
Yeah.
Just like we're never ever going to fully understand what it's actually really, really like.
And that's not a shameful thing, because like I said, there's many things that I have a rough idea of. But if you actually showed me, or I interacted with someone like that, I would be enlightened. So it's just being open-minded. I think just going into the world for any subject with a good open mind is going to be very beneficial. And
so we've come a long way, but how can we go further? How can we make things better?
I think just overall, just being more tolerant, more understanding, more using. There's many resources out there that will show you that will tell you more about autism and openly engaging with it. I think most people will just say they know autism, but don't really care to look into it. Really, they more just I'll just go along with the ride and see how it goes. Because it is quite a complex thing. It doesn't have to be if you look more into it.
What is lovely, again, is we're talking about it. It's out there, and you're very open and very honest about it, and it is going to help people, and it is going to inspire people. So, you know, there are people out there that want to mask it, like you say. They want to hide it, and they don't want to talk about it, or they don't want people to know about it, and so on. And you think, well, don't. You know, let's put it out there in the open. It's going to make you feel much better if we all understand, and you know, we can all get on. We can all do what we need to do.
People do want to hide it, but I can understand why they want to hide it. Like, it's all right me saying to them, like, oh, open yourself up, but I can speak from personal experience. It's probably the worst feeling I ever think, when you open yourself up, like, your disability, and feel rejected afterwards. It's a horrible feeling. It'd be like confessing your love to someone and then them saying they don't love you back, sort of thing. It's like that sort of heartbreak, especially when you've made a point of trying to hide yourself like that. So I can understand that, but then I have to then say, like, we have to build a culture of, like, being more accepting of, like, these people, and just having education and just being honest. If you don't know something, just be honest. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, if someone said to me, I don't really know autism, talk to me. I'm very open to talk to me. Maybe not everyone's like that, but you'll probably find someone who is very open. Or there's certain ways you can engage it without making them feel like they're going to be shamed. Because I feel like that's the one thing that autistic people... feel shamed, because they've trying to, because this world doesn't really feel like it's made for them. They feel like a guest in this world, so they feel like if they open up, they're going to be rejected from the vast majority of people, because they'll remember a bad like they remember one bad incident and they repeat it over and over in their head, and it just reinforces that negative feeling in their head and all that.
So, I mean, you are an inspiration, not just, you know, for people with autism, what you've actually overcome and what you've actually achieved. Come on, just tell us some of the achievements that you've had in the last 10 years.
10 years, jeez. I got my brown belt in jiu-jitsu, which is the belt below black belt, in under 6 years. Usually get it, I've seen people get it for like 10, 6, 8 years, so I got that very quickly. I'm a 5-time English Open champion. I won ADCC British Championships as a purple belt when it was a division of brown and black belts. I did that, and when I first freshly made that, that was quite my highest accomplishment because it was a division I didn't think I was going to win. I just did it for fun,
right?
And then I won the first match, and I was like, "Oh my god, I actually got a chance here." I kind of just did it for fun. I was like, "Oh, I'm going to do this. If I lose, I'll learn something. If I win, brilliant. We'll work out the details when we come along." And then I won it, and I was like, and I cried, and I went to my coach and I cried in his shoulders. I was like, "I can't believe I won. It shouldn't have happened."
Wow.
Yeah, so that's quite a highlight. And I just like how I've developed. I'm really proud of how I'm a different man to how I was when I was at 17, and I'm proud of the person I've become from there. Like, I look like I'm a person now that if I came to my 17th person, I feel like he would be proud of how I've turned out, because I don't think I would have predicted how I would have turned out like 10 years from before. And also just the influence I've had on people, and just feel like, and I feel like I've been a positive force for them. And I feel like, and I get many nice compliments, like I don't fish for them, they tell them to me, and I'm just like, and I feel weird about it. I don't like compliments, but I get lovely messages from people saying about how I'm an inspiration and how I've changed their outlook and everything like that. And that makes me feel like it gives me a purpose, if that makes sense.
I would imagine it's across the board too. It's not just people that may have autism. It's people that are in the sport and so on that, you know, that you've inspired.
Yeah, I like to think. I have many people just saying like I've taught them stuff and it's helped them and everything like that. And I kind of like, that's the thing I feel like that helps me a lot, is feeling like I have a purpose in this world. Because I feel like that's the one thing that autistic people feel like they don't hear. They feel like a guest, yeah. And they feel like they don't belong in the world. They don't feel like they have an influence. They don't feel like they have a place in it. Where I've done jiu-jitsu, I feel like I was made for it, and I do stuff in it, and people appreciate me for it. So that gives me a reinforcement. That gives me a sense of confidence. That gives me a sense of like, I actually do belong in this world. There is a place for me here. And that's how... And I feel like if people can have that outlet, that's just like, forget everything else. That's just having a purpose is just what you need for anything.
Hey, look, I'm going to ask you a random question now, because I'm thinking of all the moves that you would do in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
there must be loads.
Oh, there's tons.
Does there come up to a point where that's it, we've done them all? Or is there always something new you're going to learn?
It's funny. I feel like it goes in like a circus, like a roundabout, because I feel like there's moves I've learned and then I forget about them. And then I feel like I've rediscovered them. And then I look at an old video and I'm like, oh, I was doing that 2 years. I was doing that 3 years ago. So I feel like we forget it. There's so many moves. You kind of just rotate. It's like food, isn't it? It's like food. You kind of, you eat food and then you get bored of that. So you rotate to another lot of food and then you go back to it like a few decades later.
So all the moves have been done. There's no new moves. When was the last time you actually saw a new move that you thought, God, I've never seen that before?
Oh, I've seen moves all the time. I see moves all the time, I think. There's one move I saw particularly that was new, and it just looked weird. I put it on my if people follow my Instagram, they might have seen me actually. I put up a video of me doing it, and I thought, this is weird. I was like, I've never seen it before. I don't know if it's actually good, because there's a lot of techniques that are like not the best, but they're like fodder,
really. Right.
There's some moves work and some people, I feel like all moves work in context. It depends on how you're applying in different contexts that can make it most efficient. So there's low percentage and high percentage moves. I find that a very low percentage what I did, but you know, it's a move. It's stuff in there. I just think it's funny how we can just find new stuff and all that stuff.
Yeah. All right, look, you're sidelined at the moment, but you must have, I'm guessing, dreams, goals, focuses to, you know, when you come out of, you know, when your knee heals and so on. What's the plan for you?
So the plan that I've set a course in my head that I don't plan to change is I want to go and compete in the IBJJF Euros, which are done in... So there's one for the gi and there's one for no gi. They do the gi in Portugal at the beginning of the year, and then they do the no-gi in Rome at
just,
the
just
end.
Just explain
of the year.
What a no-gi is.
Okay, so gi is when we wear a kimono, so like a traditional, like a, sort of the similar garments they wear in judo. And no-gi is basically we don't wear that. We just basically wear like, at the beginning of it, it was just t-shirt and shorts. Now it's kind of like to rush guards and spats, which was pretty much like very thin clothing that's like, you know, it's skin-tight clothing.
Right.
So it's just, oh, that's, so it's more like watching how wrestlers watch sort of thing.
Okay.
If that makes it easier to compare.
So is that the next bit? That's the next step.
That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do.
What's the one thing that you look at and think, I want to win that?
Probably Euros.
The Euros.
I feel like calling myself a European champion is quite a nice title. Yeah. I can call myself a British champion, I can call myself an English champion, but I feel like the next goal is European champion. I feel like that's a nice thing to put on your Instagram bio.
Yeah, definitely. I would imagine you need to be tip-top in... the knee needs to be mended and so on.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. You can't... I'll just be setting myself up for failure if I just went in there injured.
Yeah.
Because then you just... Because if it goes worse and it... Well, if you injure it more, then it's just like... It will haunt you, and if you... go in there and you lose straight away, but your knee's not messed up afterwards. It's just like I could have done it if I had my knee better. So I'd just rather.
What goes through your mind then when you know you're going to have a fight and you know that you're going to, there might be some pain involved. Are you like, how do you focus? How do you focus on that? Do you get yourself all psyched up?
Visualization and psyching. So yeah. I just like psych myself up a little bit, like get some music.
What music are you listening to?
Probably some hip hop sort of stuff, or something that's kind of like up, like high energy, right. High energy. I don't want something that's like going to make me cry, make me angry, or like maybe not. Maybe I don't really listen to aggressive music because I don't really like to be aggressive. I want to be calm and methodical. But yeah. I listen to like hyper sort of music, something that will get sort of like it puts a step to your, you know, puts an extra step to your walking or something. So some like beats. And like hip hop sort of stuff, where it just feels, you can bob your head a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So do you have to shut yourself away though from people? Some people do.
I don't, because usually people because of who I am. Usually I get approached quite a lot of competitions, and I never want to be the person to turn away someone.
Right.
Because I feel like that's just not who I am, and I feel it's rude.
But if you're going, if you've got a bout and you know,
yeah. But I usually just say to them like, oh, sorry, can you just find me after my match, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll just get back in the groove and everything and get myself psyched up. And then, you know, my visualization is I've already won in my head. So I have to visualize, like, the moves I'm going to do and then me winning. I don't accept I'm going to lose until it happens. I think, like, if I lose, then shake his hand, congratulate him, walk off. And then I'll just deal with it in the moment, sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's why I say to all my students, if they're like, competing, just don't even visualize losing, don't even accept the loss as an outcome, just think about winning and how you're going to do it. That's all I want you to think about. And then when you lose, or if you lose, then we can sort it out together. Because
that focus must be such a, I mean, when you think of it, you mentioned your 17 year old self, compare your focus to when you were 17 to where you are now.
Yeah. But also it's like having fun. I enjoy what I do. So it's like, it helps. I hate competing, but I also love the sport. Right. And I love knowing that every time I go in the mats, regardless if I win or lose, I learn something. Because I feel, because you have to, because it's, you don't lose in a sport by like luck or anything like that. You usually just win by skill. And if someone's beating you by something, then you've just found out what you're weak about. You just found out something about yourself. And that's something great.
Who introduced you to the sport?
There was no one that particularly introduced me to it. I just heard about it. I don't know if anyone knows about the Joe Rogan podcast, but I remember listening to that, and there was a guy on there called Eddie Bravo, who's a big jiu-jitsu guy and very well known in the community. And he was talking about how great jiu-jitsu is. And I remember then when I heard a jiu-jitsu club opened up nearby to me, I remember the name jiu-jitsu. I just remembered from hearing it, oh, this sport's meant to be really good. I thought I'd give it a try. So it's kind of like subtly hinted to me by someone who was influential in the sport already.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then suddenly I'm going around telling people to do it. So.
And you went. What was it like the first time you went?
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Did you think straight away? Did you know straight away this is for me, or did you think?
Yeah. I did the whole. I did the class. I got smashed up. I was absolutely bruised. I was like sweating, and I felt this is great. This is brilliant because I felt even when I was getting smashed and like, and I felt like, oh God, I can't do anything now. I'm helpless. My brain was never like thinking about my problems. My brain was never like in another world, stressing, never think about this, never think about that. It just felt like in that moment, it was just me and in this moment. And I felt like that was like a sensation I never had in my life, because I've always worried in the back of my head. I'm always thinking. I'm always overthinking things. I'm always worrying or stressing. But in that, when you do the sport, you feel like, God, that's actually silence. There's actually, the world stopped. This is it. I feel great, and that is so addictive to me.
Wow. I mean, that must have been a magical moment.
Oh, yeah. Very magical. I instantly was like, I'm staying in the sport.
Yeah.
I have to stay.
And it happened that quick?
It happened that really quick.
Wow.
I think everyone thought, like, oh, this is just a phase that Corey's going through. And I was like, this is serious.
Yeah.
This is serious. I literally just found my thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we've run out of time, but... thank you for coming in. Great guest. Great to talk to you. I mean, you as a sportsman, you're inspirational. And as somebody that speaks up for autism, I think, you know, autism is something that we need to talk about and somebody needs to champion. And that's what you're doing. And I think that's wonderful. So thank you for that as well.
I really appreciate being here. And thank you for those kind words.